It is indeed a pleasure for me to be here this evening. It's always good for Vera and I to come back to Embry Hills. It's a relationship that we have established for almost 20 years when we first moved to Atlanta area. And every time we come back, we see new people. Give us the privilege, the opportunity to meet others of like precious faith. And it's indeed a pleasure for us to be here and to worship with you this evening, to have a part in this service. And trust as we study together from the Word of God, it will be a lesson that will be beneficial and profitable to each one of us. The Word of God establishes a number of different relationships. We find from the very beginning the relationship of the Creator and His creatures. We find throughout the Word of God, in the Old Testament in particular, the relationship of a king and his subjects. We see the relationship of husband and wife. We see the relationship of parents and their children. We see the relationship of fellow citizens in a household and in a country. But the relationship that we find in the Word of God that we want to talk about this evening just a little bit is the relationship of a father and his sons, his children. You remember that Jesus, in the great model prayer that he gave in Matthew, the 6th chapter, suggested there that to his disciples that they to pray after this manner: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here that Jesus was teaching many principles that would come into focus the lives of these people in the future. As we address God, our Creator, the one who has given us all things and the one who will make it possible, as we see through the study of the Word of God, to have remission of sins and the hope of everlasting life, in that relationship that we're able to call upon Him as our Father. We find from 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 1 that John says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. So we see here that John says it is a great privilege to have that right to call upon God as our Father. That He has made us His children, but He's made us His children by the gospel of Christ, by the death of His Son upon the cross, that we're brought into that particular relationship. We learn from the study of the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 7 that the writer states there that God deals with us as with sons. So we see then, even though that we have Him as our Father, that He shall deal with us as children and with sons. But we must understand that we have this relationship, that we enjoy this relationship. It is a great privilege to be a part of the family of God, and yet so many times that we stray away from those things that are right and acceptable in God's sight, our Father's sight. Every individual is different. Our attitude toward the Father, our attitude toward His teaching, our attitude toward those principles that have been set forth in the Word of God, and therefore God will deal with us as individuals, not as a group collectively. I want to call your attention to a very familiar passage this evening from Luke the 15th chapter, where Jesus taught concerning a man having two sons. And these two sons were different. As children are different today, you may have one child, you may have two children, or a number of children, and each and all of them will be different. And so it is in the family of God. Let me read with you a few verses, and I'm using the regular King James Version, from chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke, and beginning in verse 11. It says, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. This evening, for a few minutes, I want to talk about just one of these sons, the elder son who stayed home. But I want to talk about this younger son who made a decision to leave the father's house. Many times, we as members of the body of Christ become dissatisfied with our stay at home, in the sense of our relationship to God. And as members of the body of Christ this evening, we need to realize that those that are near and dear to us care much for us. And our Father here, the Heavenly Father, is certainly concerned about our state in life. He's given so much in the gift of His Son upon the cross that we might have the remission of sins, that we might have hope of everlasting life, to be able to live with God, with Christ, the Holy Spirit, the redeemed of all ages through eternity. But sometimes we lose sight of those values that we have as members of the family of God. And we begin to think within ourselves that it's sort of boring being a Christian, because we look around us and we see so many people out there in the world that just seem to be having a good time, and life is just simply opening up all kinds of opportunities for them. And we just simply sort of in a rut. We're sort of going in one particular way. And we say that life has become just boring to us. And we need some adventure. We need some life. We need something new to excite us, to keep us going in this particular life. And I believe that this was the case of this young man, that he wanted to see how it was out there in the world. He wanted to see how other people were living. He wanted to taste the good things of life as he thought. And so it is that so many times of those that are members of the body of Christ, that we are not satisfied to just to study the Word of God and come and worship God with His people regularly, and be out there telling other people about the Lamb of God that can take away the sins of the world. We're not satisfied living that good example before those round about us, and living that good example before those of our own family. And so therefore we want to see how the world lives. We want to enjoy those things that other people enjoy, and we think that those things are so great till we taste them. And so it was that this young man said to his father, "Father, give me the portion that will come to me. I want it now." And this is the way that he is in life. This is the way that we are so many times, that we want things and we want them now. We certainly are interested in going to heaven, but we want some other things now. If we're not going to heaven now, we want to enjoy the other things of this life. So this young man said, "Now, Father, give it now. There is a great time is a great essence to me, this particular situation in life, and therefore I want to go out there and I want to enjoy it." And the father gave him the portion that would come to him, and so therefore the record says that he left home. He took his journey and went into a far country. And this is the way it is with life today, with many that are part of the family of God. They begin then to take that journey into a far country, and they really don't know where they're going. They really are not too concerned about, at the present time, where it will lead me, but simply that I want to be going. It's foreign to us. It's different because members of the body of Christ are different. When we become children of God by obedience to the gospel, our relationship and our attitude toward those things in the world should be changed. And as we read from Romans, the 12th chapter this evening, that our minds have changed, and that therefore the result of our minds change, our action to change. And members of the body of Christ should not think as those of the world think. And therefore, as we go out into the world, we find ourselves in a strange country. We find ourselves in a foreign land, as it were, because we're with people that do not think as we think. We're with people that do not act as we have acted in the past. We are with people that do not have the same standard of values that we have as members of the body of Christ. But yet he was having a good time as long as the money lasted, and he had friends, the fair-weathered friends that were around him. And it wasn't long, the record says, and there was a great famine that came upon the land, and he began to be in want. And this can happen to anyone in life. It can happen to you, it can happen to me. And here it was now, as we think about spiritual want, here was the individual now that's out there in the world and began to realize that those friends that were with him were really not good friends. They were not close friends. They were not real friends that would stick with him when the difficult time became difficult and the days became bleak and dark and the path became dreary and the mountains became very steep. They were there when the things were going easy. But now he began to be in want, and the friends had left him. And as the friends had left it and his money had run out and he began to be in want, he began to need the very necessities of life, even the food that he needed to sustain him in life. And the only thing that he thought he could do then would just simply go and see if someone in that particular country out there would be concerned about him and would take him in and be interested in him and see that he had all the necessities of life. But not so. Not so. You see, that relationship that we have in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord, is a caring relationship, a interested in relationship of one another. But those out in the world do not care for one another as we care for one another as a part of the family of God. And this individual here learned this, that they didn't care about him any longer. They weren't concerned whether or not that he was hungry and whether he had shoes on his feet, whether he had clothes on his back, whether he had the very necessities of life. But at least one of them said, okay, you can have something to eat, but go out and feed the swine in the fields. And the only thing that he had to eat was simply that which had been fed to the hogs. Can you not imagine just for a moment here that Jesus teaches these Jews here concerning this great lesson? And it certainly would be a slap in the face to this individual, perhaps a Jew now, that had gone out and there the only job that he could find was to feed swine. And still he would have to eat out of the hog trough. He would not be able to go and eat at someone's table and not be able to enjoy the relationship with other people as others did at that particular time. And here the only thing that he had was to eat and to live with the hogs. Is this the state that we find ourselves in sometimes when we drift away from the teaching of God's divine will? When we leave the home that God has provided for us with his family, When we begin to say that the church is boring, the cause of Christ is not exciting, and therefore we go out there in the world and then we find that we're in a situation where we're pitiful. We have nothing, and no one is interested in us. And some people stay there. Some people, with their pride, their earthly pride, their mind, they'll just simply stay there. They'll rather stay there and to live with the hogs and to die with the hogs in a foreign country than to simply say that I made a mistake. I was wrong. I had so much at home. I had so much to enjoy. I had a relationship in the family. I had a father that cared for me. I had a good relationship with my family, the brother, and the friends around me. And I don't want to go back. I can't go back. I can't say that I'm wrong. How many people do we know in the world today, in the church of the Lord, that are in this situation and will not make up their mind to come home because they don't want to say that I made a mistake. I was wrong. I didn't understand what I had. Now I understand, but I just can't bring myself to go back. But as Jesus teaches the great lesson here, that this was not the case of this individual. Here was a man that realized his mistake. And the record says, and when he came to himself. And this is exactly what we have to do from time to time as members of the Lord's church, that we have to look ourselves in our own eyes. We have to look into the mirror of God's Word and we have to see ourselves as we really are and what we have done and what we need to do and say that I need to get a hold of my thinking. I need to come to myself and make it right and come back to the Lord. You and I both know so many out there that are members of the church, that have been members of the church for years, that have drifted away. And for one reason or another, they're staying out there in that foreign country. They're staying out there with those that really do not care about them. And they could come home where the family is. They can come home to the Father. But this man came to himself. And the record says that as he thought about this situation, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare?" They don't only have just enough to eat, but they have more than enough. And here, I don't even have enough to eat. I'm starving. I'm dying. I'm perishing with hunger. And here, even the servants in my father's house have more than enough. They have food left over, bread left over from the meals. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's the way it is in the Lord's church and the Lord's family. The blessings that God has bestowed upon us, it's like that table that's running over. That God has blessed us with so many things in this life. God is there that cares for us and loves us and that will hear our petition that we make them known unto Him according to His will. There are those that are brothers and sisters in the Lord that love us and care for us, and they're there when we need them. When we're down and we need to be encouraged. When we slip by the wayside and fall, and they're there to help us up, to lift us up, to give us that hand that we need. They're there to pray with us. They're there to study with us. They're there to sing with us when there's time for singing and joy. Bread enough and despair. That's what we have in the church of the Lord. This is what we have in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this man now has realized. And he says, they have it. He said, I will arise and I'll go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not only making a mistake, but he says, I'll tell him that I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against the Almighty. I've sinned against the greatest power that ever existed. And I've sinned in your sight, Father. I've done you wrong. I have perhaps embarrassed you by the way that I acted, the decision that I made to leave and to take my portion and to go and now to spend it in riotous living in a far country. I brought shame and I brought reproach. I brought embarrassment upon you. But I'll go to you and I'll say that I've done you wrong. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And again, we see a different in attitude sometimes with people. They say, well, now, okay, I'll come back. I'll come back. But you know, you're lucky to get me back. I'll come back provided you'll do this or that, and the attitude is like this or something else. No, not with this man. He said, I'll go back, and Father, don't treat me as a son. Just make me as a hired servant. The hired servants have more than I have. Just consider me. Just allow me to come home and I'll be happy to just be like a servant in the house. And I'm going to tell you, to be in the kingdom of Christ, to be in the church of the Lord, to have had an opportunity to know the gospel of Christ and to obey the gospel of Christ and to enjoy those rich blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, it's good just to be a servant. So he came home. The record says, and he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I guess each one of us can imagine in our own minds. We can picture there perhaps this house that stood far back up into the field, maybe in a grove of trees, maybe a long lane, maybe a dirt road, a lane that led down to the main road, maybe a mile, maybe 2 miles, but a long way off. And I can imagine in my mind there, as we see a father that's waiting for his son, that every day, perhaps that father would go to the front porch and sit in a rocking chair on the steps and look down that road. Maybe early in the morning, he would look to see if his son's coming home. He'd been gone a long time, and I know he may be in need. And perhaps during the day that he'd make his turn to go around the house, to go to the front, to be able to look down that road, that perhaps my son will come home. He wasn't concerned about what he had taken. He wasn't so much concerned now the fact that he had brought shame and reproach upon him, but just come back. Just to get your life right, to come back. And the record says, but when the father saw him, a great way off, that he ran to him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I believe that this describes the great love that God has for us. God is there to go more than halfway. This father could have sat there or stood there in the yard and crossed his arm and said, my son is coming home. He's learned his lesson. And when he gets home, I'll have something to say about that. And I'll teach him a lesson. I'll make him understand. And after a period of time, he'll realize what he's done wrong. But the father had compassion when he saw him. He saw his son. He didn't see someone that had taken half of what he had. One who had wasted all in riotous living. But he saw his son coming home, and with that compassion he ran and fell upon him and he kissed him upon the neck. Now I want you to notice here one of the interesting things, I think, in this particular story. The son said, "The Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to the servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." The son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." And the father ignored it. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're not to make right with God. But the point of it is, the father was glad to have him home. Here was the son that had gone away, that needed to come back, and the son was back now, and the father ignored what he said, whether or not he'd be treated as a servant. And the father said, "Now, get the robe and put it on him. He's home. Let's make him a part of the family again." And I believe that these things that are suggested here suggest something to us. Put the robe upon him. He's home. He's part of the family that's come back. And let's treat him like the family. Put a ring on his hand. Let him know. Let him understand the identification. And many rings that were worn, family rings, to identify an individual or a group of individuals in a family. And perhaps this was the case here, to put this family ring back upon. Let him know that he's accepted. Let him know that he's been missed. Let him know that we wanted him back. And let him know that we have taken him back. Put a ring on his hand. And put a shoes upon his feet. He was in need. We don't know how he left. But no doubt he left with shoes upon his feet. We do not know how long he's been without shoes. But he had gotten in such a state in life that he had no shoes. And perhaps coming back with the smell, the stench of the hog pen. And lean and not having enough food. And weary and despondent. And yet he's accepted back into the family. Give him the robe. Put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. It's time to rejoice. It's time to rejoice. You know that Jesus taught the great lesson. Even the angels of heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. When one comes back. And I believe that this is the great relationship that we have as members of the body of Christ. When that brother or sister that has drifted away, has gone out into the world, has thrown their life away, and they've lived in the gutter, in the streets for a period of time, and when they come to themselves and come home, there are those that love them. There are those that care for them. There are those that show that. And above all, the Father that we have in heaven cares for us. We never have to question that the love that the Father has for us. He said, "Let's kill the fatted calf and let us eat. And let us be merry. Let us be happy." God's people are happy people, or should be a happy people. And here is one that has come back. And it's time to have a feast. We won't wait till next week. We won't wait till next month. We won't wait till we get news all over the community and the area. But he said, "Now let us kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and let us be merry now." For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Jesus describes this individual in the great lesson that the son was dead. In a sense, he was dead. He was dead to the Father. Father didn't know where he was. When I read this particular passage, I think about the story in the Old Testament of Jacob, of Joseph, and those years that Joseph thought that his son Joseph was dead, that Jacob loved him. And perhaps every day, maybe many times each day, that he thought about his son that he had been convinced that was dead. But later in life to know that he was alive. And how great it is when one who is dead spiritually comes back. Lost and is found. We remark at the efforts that are put forth by citizens in a community when a child is lost in the woods or something has happened. Everybody, it seems, turns out to try to find that child or to find that particular person. Every effort is put forth that they may find that one that is lost. Are we putting forth the effort that we ought to find those brothers and sisters in Christ that are lost, that are dead spiritually and that need to be found and brought back? Some of them may not be like this young man that will take upon himself the initiative to come home and to say that I've done wrong, I want to be back. There may be those out there that need to be encouraged. They need to be strengthened. They may not know that we care and that we love them and that we want them back and that we need them back and that together that we might be able to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ and lead others to the Lamb of God that can take away the sins of the world. Do we take the time to let them know? Do we take the time to go hunt for them? To search? To put forth a little effort in our lives to bring them home. How many are there out there that need to come home? How many out there that you and I both know personally that need to be led back? What are we doing about it? What can we do about it? What will we do about it? How many out there that need to enjoy the relationship in the family of God for the first time? There may be those here this evening who are not Christians. You have no idea how it is and what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. To have so many brothers and sisters in the Lord that think as you think. That have goals like your goals and aims like you aim. And if you are not a member of the body of Christ this evening, you need to become one. You need to obey the gospel because only in Christ that we can have the remission of sins. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you do not have the remission of sins, you ought to come this evening acknowledging your need for Him, your faith in God and in Christ as His Son. You need to come with a penitent heart and say that I'm going to give my life to the service of Almighty God, that I might have the right to the tree of life, that I might be able to live with God through eternity. I want to be buried with my Lord in baptism for remission of sins. I want to be resurrected to begin a new life here upon this earth, that I might then be able to have the eternal life. Won't you come to Him? Won't you come and obey the gospel of Christ? Or as a member that needs to come home? If you spent too much time, you've been out there in the world too long. If your friends have been those of the world and not God's people, won't you come back? But He wants you to come back. Won't you come while we're standing, while we're singing?